Good morning. Scripture reading today comes from 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 18. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he may die, saying, "It is enough now. O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of the food 40 days and 40 nights to Horba, the mount of God. Then he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel has forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel has forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive there, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel." I'm sorry, I read that wrong, didn't I? "And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel Mahalah, you shall appoint to be a prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I'm reminded of the song, "Standing on the Promises." Father, we recognize that your word is before us. We know that it won't go void, and it'll be done as you want it to be done for your intended purpose. And we pray to that end today as we hear your word. As Pastor Jimmy brings the word, we ask your blessing upon him, upon the word, upon our hearts, that we may receive it in such a way, not just to hear it, but to take action in our lives that would bring honor and glory to you. We thank you for our time together, and we ask your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. We've got a great morning to be here. Sometimes it's great on these cold mornings to all get together and just worship the Lord. I I was talking with Pastor John on the phone this week and told him my goal was to watch his message all week. So I got 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes. But when Chloe woke up this morning, I got to feed her bottle and we got to listen to John's whole message. It was great last week. So I hope you enjoyed that last week on his God first in your life. And his last point, he was talking about, do you worry or trust? And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning here in 1 Kings chapter 19. And if, as we were mentioning in the children's message, if you look in 1 Kings chapter 18, you're going to see a mountaintop experience for Elijah. And some things are going really, really great. And all of a sudden, he's going to hit a speed bump in the road. And he's going to end up in the wilderness right after his mountaintop experience. And I'd like to entitle the message, Listening to That Still Small Voice. And I would like to mention first, when you are in the wilderness, we need to remain focused, intently listening for the Lord. Now, if you start in chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there." So all of a sudden, we go from mountaintop experience. One of the things we all hear about Elijah, he prayed for fire and fire came. He prayed for rain and rain came. And we see that example throughout the Bible. We see it mentioned in James. We see him known for it. But yet you turn one page in Scripture and now he's on the run for his life. You know, we talked about the fiery furnace in Sunday school. I'll probably end with that too. I might borrow a little bit of the lesson if that's okay. But we talked about the fiery furnace. And there's many different times that you can go from a spiritual mountaintop right to running for your life and right to backpedaling. And we need to watch this and we need to have faith in God, because in these times we need to remain focused, intently listening for the Lord and what he has for us to do. It says here in verse 4, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness." And that wilderness is a very interesting word. A few years back, my pastor at my home church, Pastor Paul Cole, preached on that word wilderness. And I love his definition. I wrote it down in my notes. I've kept it. Whenever I see that word, I always go back to this definition. Let me click it on the slide here. He had mentioned that it is a dry, barren, hot, severe place, hard without much vegetation and lonely. It's a place that seems like it will never end. It is not a place we would want to be. In the wilderness, we face hardships, loneliness, conflict, separation, crisis, tragedy, and problems. The Hebrew word for wilderness is midbar. And the root of that word midbar is debar, which has the meaning of speak or word. And the wilderness is the midbar, a place of God speaking. It is a special place where God speaks to us in the wilderness. God humbles us and proves us in the wilderness. The wilderness period can last days or years, depending on how quickly we learn its lessons. Now, when you think about that, and you think about these times where maybe we're coming off our mountaintop experience, maybe we're hitting the bottom of a valley, maybe we don't really know where we're heading or what we're doing, but all of a sudden you come to an appointed place and a place where you are that you can hear God speak. We need to realize that we're not only to be listening and focused on God on the mountaintops, but we need to be listening and focused, intently listening for him to speak when we're in the valleys and we're in the wilderness and we're in the deserts. We need to be listening and looking for God. I shared in that 1 Kings chapter 18 is probably what most of us know Elijah for. And if you remember, it talks about prayer, and sometimes you get a really fast answer when you pray, and sometimes you don't get a fast answer. The first time we see that they were praying for fire. If you remember, there was an altar, and he had called on their people who were serving false gods to go see if their false gods could send fire. And of course, we know the story that it didn't happen. And then all of a sudden, he begins to pray to God, and immediately fire falls from heaven and it consumes on that altar. And they realize that Elijah is serving the one true living God. We see that later in that chapter that he begins to pray for rain. And when he prays for rain, rain does not immediately come. Now, how many of you here can raise your hand and say, I've had a prayer in my life and I've not got an immediate answer? Can anybody admit to that? Hey, there's some things that I'm still praying to this day for an answer for. Sometimes God will give us an immediate answer, and I like that because that's our society. We live in a microwave society. I want to go eat dinner, so I go in my freezer and pull out the bagel bites, and in 3 minutes and 30 seconds, I can have a nice meal sitting right on my plate. And sometimes we will get an answer like that. But the God of heaven and earth does not always answer us the moment we start to pray. Sometimes we're going to have to stay in his presence. Sometimes we're going to have to pray continually without ceasing. You know, you guys were talking about fasting. You might think about this. A whole bunch of people might be praying for a very long time before you hear exactly what God's going to say. But I'll tell you, if you're faithful and just to do that and to turn to him and listen to the Lord, we know that he is going to speak. And we will hear that still small voice and know exactly what he has for us. He goes from mountaintop to verse 19, and then he hits the wilderness, and all of a sudden, he is starting to feel like he's depressed and he's down and he doesn't really know what to turn. Remember, this is Elijah. I mean, this is the guy we look up to. This is the guy who prayed for fire and fire rained down from heaven. This is him. And all of a sudden, one chapter removed from that great mountaintop experience, he all of a sudden hits the wilderness. We see that as we look in verse 14, we see what happens with the attitude. It says, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because, verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Think about this. This is Elijah. And all of a sudden, the man of God that we all look up to, that event that we're thinking about, that story that we think about, it doesn't like me standing right there. And he just moves out of that. He comes to the wilderness and he's wanting to die. He's wanting to die. This is the man of God. You say, well, that would never happen to me. What happens to this guy? Sometimes I get on fire for God. And I spend 2-3 weeks, hopefully a couple months on fire for God. And then all of a sudden I come to a point and I say, this isn't going well. That's not looking well. That's not going well. And we start to look at circumstances and we begin to shut down. And let me tell you, I think that's one of the devil's biggest tool that he uses against us is discouragement. If he can discourage us and make us go sit on the bench and make us get out of the game and make us saying, well, we might as well just die. We might as well just sit under this juniper tree. Then he is winning that fight and we don't want to let that happen. Listen, if you're in this room this morning, you say, Jimmy, I am discouraged this morning. I can tell you I've been there. Don't stay discouraged. Turn to the Lord. Seek the Lord. Get in this fasting group. Get in the prayer meeting. Get in one of the ministries and see that God is still moving and he is still on the throne today. Realize that when we're in the wilderness and when we're going through hard times, that is an appointed time that we are to listen for God to speak. So we see verse 4, he hits rock bottom. And a lot of us are glad this morning that our lives aren't on the page of Scripture, because if you looked at Jimmy's life, you might say, well, Jimmy's been in that valley a couple times. Or, you know, maybe you could put your name in there, that if you look at your life, you've been in that valley a couple times where you're discouraged. We need to remain focused, intently listening for the Lord. We see here that Elijah begins to hear from the Lord in verses 5-8. It says, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And you know, I love this little section of scripture here in this verse, because it shows that not only is God focused on the plan that he has for Elijah to accomplish for God, not only is God focused on his next step, but he says, you need to get up. You need to put some food in yourself and you need to get ready to hit the road. And we see here that God is having this personal time with Elijah because he needs to strengthen Elijah. He needs to help him get back on his feet and get ready to serve the Lord. You know, if you go home and you turn on the news, you might be able to get discouraged. There's a lot of things that are happening in the world that we would probably not pick them to happen that way. And the more you listen to it, the more you watch it, if you start turning your eyes and looking to the world instead of looking towards our Savior, you can find yourselves down in the dumps very, very quickly. In verse 6, it says, "And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again." So he eats, he drinks, he gets his rest. In verse 7, it says, "And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee.'" Notice he's about ready to embark on a great journey. He's about to keep serving the Lord. And God's saying, "You need to eat more because there's a lot left for you to do." Boy, I'm glad this morning too that when I get down in the dumps, that doesn't mean that God's done with this guy. That means that God's going to strengthen me. He's going to help me back up. He's going to help me get back on course. And he's going to encourage me to get back in the game and keep serving him and keep sharing his word. Raise your hand if you're in here and you're excited about Awana starting back up this evening. Isn't that nice, getting back on track, getting a schedule back? Listen, if you're not a part of that ministry, I'm a part of one in Falston. I tell you, just get a part of it. It's fun. Whether you're teaching or not, just go there and be a part of it. If you volunteer for your leaders, I'm sure your leaders will be very excited to have the help with all these young kids. But it's a great program because like we spoke about with the kids this morning, it's all about God's word. It's about memorizing his word. It's about hearing his word. And the Bible does tell us when his word goes out, it will not return void. So if you're looking for a place to get involved there, we saw an example before we even get out of the service, get involved there and help share the gospel to these young kids. When you find yourself in the wilderness, remain focused on the Lord. Keep your eyes on him. Don't give up. Don't give in. Just keep focused on the Lord, and he will strengthen you and begin to lift you up. We see that Elijah begins to hear from the Lord in verses 9 through 12. It says here in verse 9, "And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, 'What dost thou hear, Elijah?'" Say, "Elijah, what are you doing here? Why are you sitting? Why is your head down? Why are you feeling bad? You need to get back on the road. You need to get serving me." We see that God's confronting Elijah here right in verse 9. You know, we serve a God that loves us. And if you're a born-again believer, God is going to chasten you. He's going to encourage you to get back on your feet because God loves you. You know, if I see my daughter, if she's down and she's discouraged, I'm going to go help pick her up and I'm going to encourage her to get back moving. Why? Because I love her as her dad. That's like our heavenly father that we have here. He loves us and he wants what's best for us. In verse 10, it says, "And he said, 'I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away.'" You know, this happens to us too. We say, "God, I'm frustrated because I want our people to turn to you." Boy, that's probably every preacher's concern that's ever preached a message. "Lord, I wish everyone that heard the message is going to turn to you, is going to follow you, is going to make you first in your life. Lord, I want them to start seeking you, and they're not doing it." Well, guess what? We all struggle like that, guys. We all have that issue. We all come to a place where we have this struggle, where maybe we're frustrated, where maybe we're not seeing the results. And all of a sudden, we get into a pity party, and we start coming down on ourselves and find discouragement. And if we do that, we're never going to continue moving forward. You know, so many times in ministry, I've seen that you prepare a great message and you think this might be the greatest message I've ever preached, but it's on a night where there's three people in a service where you see someone walk forward and accept the Lord. And you say, "I don't really know why it happened that way, but I can tell you because that's the way that God moves. He doesn't always rain fire down from heaven. Sometimes he will, but sometimes it's going to be in that stillness, in that small voice where we are really going to hear from the Lord." In verses 11 through 12, look, Elijah was looking for God in everything that was happening, and he just can't find him. It says in verse 11, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. So we see that he hears this wind, and he says, here comes the Lord. Here's this awesome thing that's going to happen. And he looks in the wind and doesn't find God. And after the wind, an earthquake. And he feels the earth shake and thinks, here's the Lord coming. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Aren't you glad God comes to us in a still, small voice? You know, when I woke up this morning and when I was studying God's word, you could hear that still, small voice. I was listening to Pastor John's message last week. I like that it's on Facebook Live because you can stream it on your TV. So while I was feeding Chloe, I got to listen to his message from last week, and it was a great message. And you just can hear God talking through his word. And you can have that encouragement. You can come before him. It lifts you up. But we have to be in a place where we would hear that still, small voice. I challenge you this morning, are you listening for that voice? Sometimes if you're like me, I have a problem that I talk too much. If you talk to my five closest friends, they will confirm that a lot of times I do talk too much. Sometimes we need to come to a place where we will listen. God just needs us to hear from him. We need to seek his direction for his life. In the wilderness, we need to remain focused, intently listening for the Lord. In the wilderness, we also need to return on the way. Look at verse 15. Look what God tells him. So he's down. God strengthened him. He's put food in him. He's encouraged him. He's listened to the pity party. And what does God say? It says, and the Lord said unto him, go, return on the way. That's pretty simple. Elijah, you need to go, and you need to return on the way. Notice that first word that God says is go. Sometimes when you're down and discouraged, that first step is the hardest one to make. Elijah had to get up. He had to dust himself off. And notice that he also had to pick up on his journey right where he stepped off the path. Sometimes we want God to take us around these wilderness experiences. Sometimes we want God to make us not have to go through that wilderness. But let me tell you, sometimes it's in the wilderness where we hear the stillness of that small voice. Exodus chapter 14, verses 15 through 18, we hear about this Red Sea experience that the children of Israel had. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Sometimes God will not take you around the wilderness. He's going to lead you through, and he's going to be right there with you. I'll tell you this morning, if you ask the children of Israel when they were coming to the Red Sea, it probably was not their first choice to come to a place where they couldn't go to the right or couldn't go to the left, and the greatest military army in the world at that time was at their back, and they had no choice but to go through. But God said, you're going to go through the Red Sea. And you know what? God made a way. God was with them. In that verse before the verses we just read, if you back up to 14, is where Moses tells the people that they should hold their peace because God is going to fight for them. Maybe the situation you're in, the only way God's going to take you is through. I can tell you, you don't have to be nervous about that. You don't have to be scared about that. You just have to trust that God is going to go through you. Everything God has ever instructed me to do or led me to do, He has always went first before me. And I've been able to trust Him being there. I've been able to trust His provision. I've been able to trust His protection. And He equips us for everything that we are going to do. Another example we see was when the children of Israel had to cross the Jordan. It says in Joshua chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites." You know, what I love about that scripture is that that water was not going to part until the soles of the feet hit the water. It would be nice to say, God, part the waters, and then we're going to jump in. That doesn't happen. You ought to drive down to the bridge when Conowingo's at a flood stage. It'll probably happen this year. Seems to happen about almost every year. And see how that water flows. It was kind of like that at the Jordan. It was one of those areas that water was just moving so fast. And you're nervous that if your foot gets in there and you go down, that you are going to be taken away. They came to a point where if they wanted to pass, it was God or nothing. That they had to fully commit to God. That they had to fully step in and trust God to bring them the victory. Do you trust God like that today? You know what our Sunday school class was on? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they came to the point where they were being thrown in a furnace. We talked about in Sunday school that they heated that furnace 7 times hotter than they did for anybody else that they threw in there. They threw those men in, and when they came out, they weren't burned at all. And they looked in there and they saw a fourth man. Let me tell you, God does get in that furnace with you. He will bring you through and He will be there to strengthen you. He will bring there to bring you the victory if we will just come to a place where we will return on the way. Don't get discouraged and sit on the sideline. Don't get discouraged and start thinking about how things are bad and how things are going bad. Just look to the Lord. Seek what He has for you. Return on the way and be willing to follow what He has for you. I think about a time that we were fishing down on the tidal Potomac River, and we fished in a regional championship. And the first day we ran about 25 miles from the boat ramp, and the wind was howling and it was rough. And Dad and I caught fish real quick and the wind laid down. So we just got to run back in. It's nice and easy. Didn't have to worry about anything. Well, the second day of competition, we had a later boat number. We ran up a little easier, but the wind started howling. And we could tell it's 15 miles an hour, 20 miles an hour, 25 miles an hour. And I'm sitting there, and in our tournament, you need to have 5 fish in the live well as your goal. So what happens, Emery? We had 4. And I looked all day for number 5, and I could not find number 5. I said, Dad, let's catch number 5 and go back. We could not do it. The day before, we couldn't go anywhere without catching number 5. The very last cast of the day, my dad, hopefully doesn't watch this video, but he hung up his crankbait in a brush pile. And he goes, Jimmy, throw right there, right where I'm hung. That's where it is. And I threw my crankbait out, and I cranked it down, and I set the hook on a 3-pound bass. I said, there he is. Put him in the live well, and we had to head back towards the ramp. I'll never forget my dad looking over at me, and we're all in rain suits so you can't hear, and we're driving and you hear the rain suit going in your wind. He looks, he says, Jimmy, he says, it's going to be really rough when we get around that corner. The only way back to the boat ramp is we have to go through that channel. I tell you, maybe the only way back this morning is to go through. Maybe you say, Jimmy, I'm discouraged and I'm on the sideline. And Jimmy, you know, the world's in a bad place and there's a whole lot of need that's around me. Let me tell you, don't look at all the reasons you could not serve God. Look at the God you serve, and He will encourage you. He will be there to help pick you up, to help you realize that you are still in the game, that He still has a purpose for you. Remain focused, intently listening for Him, and return on your way. Don't start out 2022 sitting on the spiritual sideline. Start out 2022 seeking the Lord, sharing His gospel, because let me tell you what, the world needs the gospel now more than ever. Notice in verse 15, if you look a little further, it says here, and the Lord said unto him, go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Notice that Elijah did not get to pick where he went. Elijah didn't sit down and have a committee with the Lord and say, Lord, these are the top three places I'm going to go. Which one do you feel like I'd be most called for? God said, Elijah, this is where you're going to go. Return on the way. Would you be willing this morning, if God tells you to go where He calls you to go? Sometimes that's scary. Pastor John talked about that comfort zone in last week's message. It might say you're stepping out of that comfort zone, that box that we've built that we'd like God to keep us in, that you are going to step out of that, and you are going to have to trust God. When you're in the wilderness, the second thing you need to do is return on the way. The third thing you need to do, and I love this, this is one of my favorite points to end a message with, is remember that you are not alone. Look down in verse 18. Remember Elijah's complaint. Elijah did not like the fact that it seems like there's no one serving the Lord. It seems like everything's going down, and we see this. We see the pity party, yes. But look what God tells him. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal. Oh, that gets me excited when you see verse 18, because we're living in a world where, and I get the worst of it. Sometimes I get, as you're a pulpit supply, you get to go to all the churches and you get to hear all the good and all the bad. But there is a lot of people who feel like right now we need to hang our head because of what state the world's in. Listen, let me tell you, there's a faithful remnant out there that's still sharing the word, that's still preaching the gospel, and people are getting saved and people are turning to Christ. And we don't need to be putting our heads down. We need to be getting ready for the ultimate victory that Jesus has already won. If we share the gospel, we've got the light that people need. We know that there's a remnant. It encourages me when we come up here because we've got a great Sunday school class we can go to. And I can get encouragement before the message even begins. I've got brothers and sisters of Christ in here who are ready to greet us and shake our hands. I've got Pastor John, who we get to text back and forth now during the week, and I love talking to him because he's a great resource for me, and he encourages me and helps strengthen me, and hopefully I get to do a little bit of that back towards him. I know I'm the young guy, but it's fun just talking to him and learning as much as I can from him. But we should rejoice that there is still a remnant out there that is serving God, that has not bowed the knee unto Baal. And we need to make sure that that remnant is fired up, because we are to be sharing the gospel and leading others to Christ. You know what's important for this young preacher? Because I got two daughters. And they're going to be looking at all of you and all of the people in Prince of Peace Baptist Church to see what we do with the situation that the world gives the church right now. We are not to bow a knee unto Balaam. We are to serve the Lord. We are to remain focused on Him. And we are to remember that we are not alone. You know what's the best part about that fasting group meeting up here in the left? Is that you're not doing it alone. Is that you've got brothers and sisters in Christ who are there to strengthen one another. You know, I've got my brother-in-law's here, Joseph. He's a real encouragement to me. I met him, and we started exercising together in the mornings, and we would wake up early. And that's hard for me to wake up early to exercise. He was a lot better at it than I am. But we'd get up, and when you have somebody that's accountable with you, they can encourage you to do that. But I'll never remember. The thing I'll always remember about him is we went to the hospital when Abby was being born. And I'll share the testimony. I don't have too much more time. It's a long story, but I can just tell you things started not going so well. And it was on 4th of July night, They didn't have a full staff, and the doctors were just not on their game. Things weren't going right. All of a sudden, they lost Abby's heartbeat. We got the heartbeat back. I thought everything was fine, so I went out to tell everybody. Walked back in. I heard all these buzzers going off, and it was my wife. She didn't look good. They couldn't find the heartbeat. They're flipping her over like a pancake looking for the heartbeat and couldn't find the heartbeat. And all of a sudden, this day that I'm a new dad, I think I'm just there to hold a picture and have fun. And all of a sudden, I'm worried that, am I going to walk out with both Lulu and Abby? Or what is happening here? You see the doctors looking confused. And all of a sudden, there's just no heartbeat. We've listened to it for hours. So they say, we're going in. And it's funny, I think the nurse made the decision before the doctor. The doctor was there and she's still looking. She goes, I think we're going to take her now. I'm like, she's about ready to head down the hallway. What are you saying? Get in there. So we go over there and they wouldn't let me in the room at the beginning till everything was set. And I'm sitting in a hallway, hearing tools fall to the ground, hearing the doctors fight. And I just thought to myself, I said, Lord, I said, I really don't know what to do. I felt helpless. I felt in one of those places the only person I could turn to, the Lord. But how I got to this story was it was nice that I had a brother in Christ. I found out later who was on the knees in the waiting room praying for us. In my family, we have great examples. Our mother and father and Lula's mom and dad. And we have great examples, but this man right here was leading the way praying for me. You say, why does the remnant matter? Let me tell you, it matters that your brothers and sisters in Christ are here and serving with you. It matters that you're on the battlefield together, that you're encouraging one another, that you're sharpening one another. Because it might be my time to be in the wilderness now, but it might be your time next week. And we should be able to praise the Lord and rejoice that we've got brothers and sisters in Christ who are standing there with us, fighting the good fight of faith. Doesn't it make you encouraged this morning that we have this group of believers around us here? We should be excited. It's fun to just walk in the back and talk to everybody because we know and have that personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you don't, I encourage you, don't leave this place until you do. It's as easy as acknowledging that you're a sinner, believing on Jesus and calling on Him to save you. I tell a story on Joseph too. Keep him in your prayers. His wife, Nancy, my sister-in-law, they're having a baby in February. So we need to pray for them and just pray that it goes a whole lot smoother than our first experience did. But we're going to be praying and lifting them up in prayer as well. We should rejoice that we have brothers and sisters in Christ. When you feel alone, as verse 12 says in the end, and after the fire, a still small voice, listen for God's direction. I'm going to read one more verse and we're going to be done. We're going to leave some time for an invitation to have this meeting here at the end of the church. But sometimes we need to come to a place where we're not the ones doing the talking, where we're listening and we're giving God that moment of stillness and that moment for Him to speak to us. I had one of those weeks this morning where I just, or one of those weeks this week that I just couldn't get the time I wanted with God. And man, this morning when I was praying and I was meeting with God, I just got to have that time, that alone time to listen to God's direction. Don't ever miss that time. Don't ever not carve out that time to hear from the Lord. I promise you, He's never going to leave you alone. He's always going to be there to strengthen us. It's just sometimes we have to take the time to continue in prayer and to listen. We're going to read one more verse. If you think about the Great Commission, one thing that's awesome about it is that there's a promise that Jesus will always be with us. It says in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 28, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. It's an encouragement this morning that whatever you do for the Lord, He is going to be with you. When God calls you to step out of that comfort zone, maybe to go through something, maybe to go through the water, maybe to go through the fire, whatever God is calling you to do, know that He is going to be with you. Isn't it interesting? That's the way the Great Commission ends. Why? Because I think almost all of us get to this point where we have worry, where we have these downtimes of discouragement, where we have these wilderness experiences. When you are in the wilderness, we need to remain focused, intently listening for the Lord. We need to realize that God's not always going to speak to us in a way where fire is going to rain down from heaven. Sometimes it's going to be in the stillness that we need to hear what He has for us. Secondly, when we're in the wilderness, eventually we need to return on the way. We need to get up and we need to go where God is calling us to go. And finally, we need to remember that we are not alone. Twofold, that we've got a God in heaven and earth that's not going to call us to do anything that He will leave us alone. But also that we've got our brothers and sisters in Christ, this family of God that we have, to encourage one another and to strengthen one another on the way. As we close the message and we'll get ready to call the musicians, I throw two things out there. Number one, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's where it starts. The Bible says that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that this preacher has sinned and I'm not perfect and I couldn't make it to heaven alone. That means that you've also sinned and that you have fallen short and couldn't make it to heaven on your own. But the Bible also tells us, but God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible shares in Romans 10:13, I shared with you my testimony last week, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me tell you, if you will be willing to ask for forgiveness of your sins and call upon the name of Jesus this morning, He is faithful and just to forgive you for those sins and to save you right where you are. If you've not made that decision, I'll be up front here. I'll be in the back at the end. But if you would like to come and talk to me, I'd be glad to show you for a Bible reason how you can know that you're saved. But maybe you're here and you can say, Jimmy, I am a believer. Jimmy, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, but I'm in the wilderness. And I'm in a place where I'm fighting discouragement. Or maybe this is going good, but there is an area of my life that I'm just discouraged and that I need help. And Jimmy, I've been listening for that still small voice. We'd also be glad to pray for you, to help encourage you while you're waiting. But just remember, you are not alone. There is a God of heaven and earth that loves you, that will show you what His plan is for your life. Not only that, you've got a whole bunch of brothers and sisters in Christ who are here in this building that we're willing to just be with you, to pray for you, and just help lift you up and keep you as close as we can to encourage you to stay close to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do just thank You for this day, and we do just thank You for this morning. Lord, we do just ask that as we come to the invitational time, Lord, that if there is one here that has not accepted You, Lord, that they would begin there. Lord, we know that we all have sinned. We know that we all have this issue, but that You solved it on Calvary, Lord. Lord, we know that You rose from the dead. Lord, that You laid Your life down, but You picked it up again, and that we serve a risen Savior. And Lord, if there's one in here who's not accepted You, I pray that they do that this morning. Oh, Lord, but I do pray if there's someone in here that might be discouraged. Lord, that might just have an area of their life that they feel like they're in the wilderness. Lord, that they're waiting for You to speak. Lord, that You'd help them, that You'd strengthen them, that You'd encourage them to just remain focused on You. Lord, if we're sitting on the sidelines, I pray that You help us to return on the way. Lord, that You help us to get up, to go where You've called us to go, and to do what You've told us to do. Lord, if we do something on our own, it's not enough. Lord, we don't want to do anything without You, and we just ask that You strengthen us. Lord, that You fill us with Your Spirit. Lord, that You just help us to know what You have called us to do. Oh, and Lord, just help us to remember that we're not alone. Lord, we thank you for being with us. Lord, we thank you for always meeting with us. We thank you for this body of believers that's here in this place. We ask that you encourage us, that you help us to focus on you. And Lord, we ask that in 2022 that many would come to a saving knowledge of you. Lord, we do love you and thank you and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.